How many of you remember the old Western comedy movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? In that movie, they find themselves, these two outlaws, they find themselves being chased by this posse. And there's a point in the movie where they come to the edge of a cliff, and there's no way to go. The posse's behind them, and the cliff's there in front of them. Butch suggests that they jump into the water, and Sundance, he refuses. The posse's getting closer and closer, and Butch asks Sundance, you know, why don't you want to jump? And he says, I can't swim. And Butch laughs, and he says, the fall will probably kill you anyway. Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 37, Jesus says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Like Butch and Sundance, we face two options that both lead to death as Christians. We can A, reject Christ and die spiritually, what the Bible calls the second death. On the other hand, our option is to follow Jesus and die to self. It's the paradox of dying in order to find life. We come to that place in our life where we realize that we need a Savior. For Paul said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. Because the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. And that's because God loves us. And He demonstrated that love, Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We begin this new life in Christ because if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, Romans 10:9 and 10 says, we shall be saved. And all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Coming to Christ, praise God, that gives us the hope of eternal life. That gives us that assurance. That gives us that certainty that we will spend an eternity with God in heaven. But you see, we have to continue to live this life in this physical existence until that day that we step into eternity, into glory. And that life that we live here is a life of dying. A life of dying to live. So what's involved in the process of dying to self? What's involved in that? Well, I believe that our text reveals that dying to live consists of three steps. Three important steps if we're going to die to live. First of all, dying to live means maximizing the Savior. Dying to live means maximizing the Savior. Look at verse 38. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Most people today are familiar with the maximize, minimize features on your computer, on your screen. You can have a bunch of windows open, and you can maximize one, and it fills up the screen. All the other windows are there, but they're kind of relegated to the background for now because you've maximized that one. Your attention and your focus is directed to that one maximized screen. My grandson Alejandro, 5 years old, this past year, he spent most of his days with me because he wasn't in school yet. I'd pick him up just about every morning, and he would kind of hang out with me all day long, and then I'd bring him home later. You talk about maximizing the screen. Alejandro had the same thing filling his mind all the time. Every time that we babysit him, every time he's with me, he repeatedly asks, Grandpa, are we going to the park now? Are we going to the park now? He won't stop. He'll keep asking that again and again and again until I either take him to the park or I make it absolutely certain that we're not going there. We're to follow Jesus Christ. He's to be our life focus. Our eyes are to be fixed on Him. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're to have a singular focus on Jesus Christ. Everything else is to be minimized behind that maximized focus on Jesus. And Jesus had that same focus. He was looking beyond the cross to the glory that was set before Him. As He approached the cross and what was going to happen, the shame of it, pain of it, the horror of it, to die on the cross for us, He looked beyond that. As He endured that, He was looking for the joy of what it was going to bring. It was going to bring you and me into a relationship with His Father because of it. So He maximized the joy beyond the cross. We need to maximize Jesus in our lives. So our eyes need to be fixed on Him. Our minds need to be set on Him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the things on the earth. Jesus, our Savior, is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our attention. He's worthy of our affection. I like to say I can't carry a tune in the bucket. I can't carry a tune if it had a handle. But the old hymn, Be Thou My Vision, it just expresses maximizing and knowing Jesus Christ personally. Somebody can help me. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day, by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Riches I heed not, nor men's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure Thou art. That's maximizing Jesus. The highest thought that you could have on any given day is to think about Christ. That is maximizing the Savior. The second step in dying to live is minimizing of self. Verse 39 of Matthew 10. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Several weeks ago, I saw a Facebook meme that was very appropriate to this point. It was of Pastor Francis Chan, and I loved it because this is what it said. It was his response to one of the members of the church. Random church goer says, you know, Pastor, I didn't really like worship today. And Francis Chan responded and said, that's okay, we weren't worshiping you. Pastor Rick Warren said, you discover purpose when you realize and understand that it's not about you. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says it so well. Because this Christian life that we live, it's no longer our life. We were purchased. We belong to Christ. And the life that we live is His life being lived through our life. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The concept of minimizing self becomes very difficult. It becomes very difficult to practice for two reasons. And let me tell you what those reasons are. We struggle, first of all, with spiritual perception. It's an inability to see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul says, We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You remember that old hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You've got to minimize self. We struggle with spiritual perception. We have trouble seeing the spiritual because the physical, the stuff of this life is right there in front of us, and it's hard for us to look past it. We have to develop spiritual vision. We need to develop spiritual sight. We also struggle with a very selfish perspective, seeking to satisfy our desires instead of submitting to Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 down to verse 34. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's by grace through faith that we acknowledge Him as Lord and abandon the attempts to experience a fulfilled life without Him. In the physical, we want to have a rich and fulfilled life, and we're tempted to try and do it based upon our own strength, based upon our own resource, based upon our own understanding. And at the end of the day, it may provide something, but it doesn't truly fulfill and satisfy. And because of that, we need to learn to live this life with a focus on Jesus Christ. And let Him be the one who's fulfilling the needs of this life. He's the one who's meeting our every need. And let me give you a third thing about dying to live. Dying to live means maximizing the Savior. It means minimizing self. Dying to live, thirdly, means energizing in service. Verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Something as simple as giving somebody refreshment who's in need in service to Jesus Christ in His name is a big deal to God. That's why I said there's no small things that God does. They're small to us because we think that we can do everything in our own strength. And we only need God's help when it gets a little bit too much for us. But no, God wants to be involved in everything. He wants to be involved in the small things. He wants us to be in fellowship with Him in the routine of life. We need to realize that just a small act of service to Him is a big deal. It's a mistake to think that self is the enemy just because it's being denied. We're called to deny self, but that doesn't mean that self is the enemy. It's just that self needs to be submissive to the Lord. And that's why we're called to present ourselves to Christ as a gift of worship to the Father. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's the problem with living sacrifices? They keep climbing down off the altar. That's the problem. A dead sacrifice, you put it on the altar and it stays there and it serves its purpose. But a living sacrifice says, gee, I thought this was really cool, but now it's getting a little difficult. I don't like this. And it climbs down off the altar. That's why Jesus said that we have to, what? Daily deny ourselves. We need to daily deny. We need to die to ourselves on a daily basis and take up our cross and follow Him. Being a living sacrifice, energized by God's grace, translates into service. Even if it's as simple as giving a cup of cold water to someone in need in the name of Jesus as His disciple. Because we die to self, we no longer look for man's empty praise.
We don't serve to be recognized by the members of the community. We don't serve to rub shoulders with the movers and the shakers. If God opens up a ministry door, we should walk through it. Christ-like service is the result of compassion. It's not for personal gain at all. That's okay for a follower of Jesus Christ because we've died to self, and a dead man doesn't need any recognition.